Forgiveness. It's a gift. And everybody needs it. I need it. You need it. Thank goodness God saw that we needed it. And that's what He gave us in Jesus Christ. And we're so grateful that He did. That's the way that we learn to live for Him, by Him. Paul was writing with some encouragement in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, and he says at verse 7, "Be not therefore partakers with them," that is, those who commit the sin and so forth, "for ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light. Walk as the children of light." In other words, live that way. I know that what I'm saying to you is at times in our lives very difficult to implement, just all depending on the circumstances and the people you're with. There was a good statement made in our class today about us associating in good places so that we're not tempted to be drug away from the Lord, but rather to be attracted to and be with the people who will encourage me to live for the Lord. Come on, amen. That's a good thought. And it takes a lifetime, doesn't it, to get that thing ironed out in your life, to choose to be around the right kind of people. I know that we don't always get to make those choices. I know we live in a land where we pretty much assume that we are free to do whatever we want to do. But I'm here to remind you that that doesn't always happen or play out here in the world. And I'm wanting you to understand today that if you're headed in the wrong direction, God allows U-turns. You can decide who you associate with. You can decide what you will do. And if you will learn to make the good decisions, to turn around from where maybe you're headed and head back toward living like a child of God, living for God, and understanding the forgiveness of God, that you will be much better off because of it. You know why? God wants the church to grow. And He wants His lost people to be found. Isn't that right? He wants the church to grow. He wants lost people to be found. He wants them to be approached with a message that is the message of forgiveness. It's a powerful thing when we live that way. That is, when other people are able to see it in our lives, because that encourages them to live that way for themselves. And we would hope that they would be able to do such a thing. So, practicing the forgiveness is a gift. I hope you're doing that. I hope you're being encouraged to do that. Does that mean that I can go ahead and hate and be bitter towards someone who's wronged me until that person repents? Well, of course not. As Oliver Hardy used to say, here's another nice mess you've gotten me into. How many of you have been in that mess? Huh? Look, there's only one way to take care of that, and that's do it right away. The sooner you do it, the easier it is. Better the outcome it is, the better nap you can take. And everybody's in for a nap, right? Well, okay, I know not maybe some of you are, but those of you that had kids and had a parent, you'd like just a little bit of time just to... Whew. I've been there, you've been there. Going to be there again. But we want to be able to do that. Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 19, "Never, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God." You see, it's not my job to judge everybody. It's not my job to pronounce judgment upon them. It's my job to choose to do the next right thing in my life and let that other person learn from my example. Come on! If we would do more of that, living could be easier for us. Paul warned Timothy about a particular dangerous metal worker in 2 Timothy. Go read the whole book, you'll find it. But I think it's chapter 4, okay? It just popped in my brain and I'm sharing it with you. He says something like, "Alexander the coppersmith did me a lot of harm. The Lord will repay him according to his own deeds." Something like that. In other words, he was saying, "Hey, I was having a hard time getting along with the coppersmith guy, but I just finally decided I'm letting God take care of that." Oh, if we could but learn to do that more often. "God, I'm giving you this coppersmith guy. You can have him, okay? Because I really don't want him." Well, I don't know if that's the right attitude, but it's the right action. You need to get it out of your life and put it where it's supposed to be. God will take care of those things. That's all I'm trying to say. And when someone refuses to repent of a wrong that they have done, we must turn that matter over to the proper authority, and you know that that's God. He's going to take care of it. So what do? Jesus tells us, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In Luke 6 and 28, it says, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. I don't mind saying to you standing here today that never seems to get any easier. I have to remind myself of what God has taught me about this when those things happen. And yet I know them to be true. Those are my responsibilities. I have to remember that my forgiveness is a gift. And it's what really frees me. But you see, forgiveness is what is clearly shown in the life of Jesus. When you look at what Jesus does, his sense of justice in waiting to see what wrongdoers' punishment would be, realize that God's sense of justice is even stronger. And you just imagine what the Father felt with the Son on the cross. So we sing that song, "There is coming a day when no sorrow will come." Yeah, there'll be that day, but it's not at my discretion, is it? It's not at your discretion. We have to learn to let God take care of some of these things. And that is not easy. I'm not even for a moment pretending that that's easy or that I've learned to do it. So what does the Bible tell us about forgiveness? Wow. I can probably only cover this much in the lesson today. But I want to cover it well. What does the Bible tell us? Well, those familiar words in the Lord's Prayer, we are reminded that we are to forgive our debtors as you forgive our trespasses. That's almost the same thing as we read in Ephesians, isn't it? That is, when God, for Christ's sake, forgives me. That's the idea, that we treat others with that kind of courtesy, with that kind of forgiveness. It's one of the harder things to do in life, because sins that need forgiving can be so damaging. It seems like, now maybe you don't have these thoughts, but sometimes I've thought, Ken, it's like letting somebody off the hook. I was taught when you got it on the hook, you want to get it in the boat, or you want to get it on the shore. We used to have a friend, we used to go fishing with Jim and Brother Ledbetter, great Christian man. My dad and him always had a little deal going on that whoever caught the first fish, the other one had to buy lunch or whatever, dinner or whatever it was they were going to do later. And if my dad were to get a fish on, he'd say, "Uh-oh, I got a fish on." Well, Brother Pat would say, "He ain't in the boat yet." That's right. Just because you got him on the hook don't mean that you got him in the boat. And I'm trying to tell you this about life, that forgiveness is something that's like that, that you have to work at putting it in the right place. If you want that fish, you're going to have to get him either in the net or in the inside the boat or on the shore or whatever it may be. And I'm saying that's what it's like with forgiveness. You're not letting people off the hook. What you're doing is practicing the gift of God. And that is giving the other person the benefit of the doubt. Remember last week I used this passage with you from the book of Job as we talked about, you remember Job's situation and everything that happened to him? It tells us in Job 42 that the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends twofold. See, it doesn't happen until you get in the right frame. It doesn't happen until you get yourself in the right understanding of what forgiveness is about. He prayed about his friends, and God increased him twofold. It's because we're broken. I don't know if you grasp that terminology today or not, but all of us have brokenness. No matter what your background is, I'm sure that as I mention some of these things, you may see some similarities in your own life. But the Bible tells us that we have all kinds of brokenness. There's the emotional kind. You know, like the abandonment of a family, like the abandonment of a father or a mother. When homes don't have fathers and mothers to love children, that's going to be an emotional abandonment. Infidelity, divorce, untruthfulness, lying in a relationship. These are emotional damages. A betrayal by your trusted friend. That's the kind of thing that's tough to overcome and get out the present, the gift of forgiveness. Because it's going to be hard to do it. Maybe it's physical. Maybe there's been abuse physically. Maybe there's been neglect in a child's life or a person's life. Or even the assault or violence that one might meet in today's society. Maybe spiritually it's the misuse of authority from a church leader. a rejection or poor treatment, maybe by members of the family. Remember I said last week, look around here at these folks. They can hurt you. Why? Because you have a love for them. You have a love for them. They have a love for you. And yet, we can be hurt by that. There's financial and social kinds. Think of Jesus on the cross. And here's a man dying after being beaten. And people are going by insulting him. I mean, hasn't he been insulted enough? And yet, life treats us that way. So I'm simply saying forgiveness is needed. Why? Because sin is real. The Bible says if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is 1 John chapter 1. That's verse 8. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. And if we claim we have not sinned, we have made Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us. You remember that story of the prodigal son, right? He wasn't real happy about it after what all he did. That's because, you see, sin always takes you further than you intended to go. Or that you want to go. It keeps you longer than you intended or you wanted to stay. Think of all of the things that binds people up in their relationship. And I guarantee you that sin always costs you more than you expected or than you're willing to pay. That's the price of sin. It's real. And it can be destructive. Therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man, talking about Adam, and the death through sin, that separation from God, and in this way death came to all people because all have sinned. That's Romans 5 and verse 17. And here's Jesus' core teaching. Because you see, Jesus, the Son, sent by the Father, let us know that God takes sin seriously. Scripture tells us that God is merciful, that He's forgiving, but the core teaching of Jesus was very clear. Spend your time with the lost. Who are you spending your time with? Well, God takes sin serious. Living as a child of God is a serious business. It's difficult to remain faithful. But through obedience, faith can be strengthened, can be strong. And God will supply you with all you need. I hope you believe that. Forgiveness. My goodness, I know we all struggle with it. I hope you're not fighting against God today. I want you to experience the forgiveness of your Heavenly Father through His Son, the Christ, who will send the Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, and allowing you to live. That's my prayer for you today. That's evangelism at its best. Why don't you come while Turner leads us in our song and let us attend whatever your need is. Let's stand together and sing.